66, and we're getting toward the end, but we're not quite at the end yet, and there's some very important things at the end for us in Daniel that so important that really the introduction to it is unlike any of the other visions or prophecies in Daniel. Three chapters are given to it, and the first chapter introduces it. The second chapter is the vision, is the prophecy, and then the third chapter is the grand conclusion to the prophecy, but also to the entire book. This is number 56. It's Kings on Parade. And in looking at one of these kings tonight, I want to show you something that is not well known. I found it out by myself. I'm convinced it's true. But one of these kings, it provides a key to the chronology of the Old Testament, the end of the Old Testament. And it's really quite important. But talking to you, and I haven't even turned to Daniel yet, so let me turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel 11. And notice again verse 32. I'll kind of use this as a signature passage as we go through these final chapters. In chapter 11, verse 32, and it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And that's where we want to be for such a time as this. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, tonight, again, we do thank Thee that Thou hast given us these two great pillars in the Bible that while everything around us is shaking and tumbling and loosened, yet these two great books would build us up in our most holy faith as we approach the end of the days. And so we're thankful tonight for Daniel. We're thankful tonight for the book of Revelation and for all the Bible, but also these two books especially for such a time as this. Do bless tonight. Help us in the Holy Spirit to do exploits for Thee as we spread the word in these last final days. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. Daniel 11, in chapter 10, subject matter is so important that we have a vision of Christ in chapter 10. Chapter 11 begins the prophecy. It begins from Daniel's day. It would be as if I were to say to you, yes, there will be an election coming up. I'll tell you who's going to win that election. And then I will tell you who is going to win the election after him. And then the election after him. And then the election after him. And then I'm going to tell you about another man who's coming, who's different than all of the kings that we've just had, and he's going to be a mighty man, but only for a very short while, and then he's going to suddenly die, his generals are going to take over after him, but two of the generals are going to be very powerful. And they're going to, one is in the north and one is in the south. And they're going to battle back and forth, back and forth. And Israel's going to be in the middle. And they battle back and forth. And neither of the kings in the north or south are very good. But one of them's coming who's going to be exceedingly bad. And he's going to be so terrible. And then he's going to die. And then I'm going to tell you We're going to skip the rest till we come to the end. And then I'm going to tell you about a king who is very, very bad. The worst king that has ever been on the face of this earth. And what he doesn't do is beyond belief. So that is what Daniel does. He takes us on a road. We've got kings on parade, but he takes us to the worst king, and we've had some bad ones, that the world has ever known. But he will fall before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, just to kind of remind us again where we are, if you look at chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and in the first year of, so Daniel begins with the kings who were reigning while he was still alive. Daniel is very elderly. Daniel will not be living down here too much longer. He's going to live in a much better place shortly. But he will see these two kings. One of them is mentioned here. The other is mentioned in other chapters. In the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. He needed it. There was evil powers in the background trying to uproot him. A good man. At this time also we had Cyrus, which we find from the other chapters, an exceedingly good king, but he's not mentioned here in chapter 11. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. We've looked at the, and that's not counting, Darius, the Mede, or Cyrus. It begins with Cyrus's son, which we saw last week. His name was Cambyses, a bad king, a very bad king. So a good king has a son who turns out to be a bad king. And grace doesn't run in the bloodline. And so three kings in Persia, the fourth shall be far richer than they all are, but his riches won't get him very far because it will stir up Greece against him. And by his strength through his riches shall he stir up all against the realm of Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion. This mighty king is not a Persian king at all. He is Alexander the Great. Lived to be only 33. Conquered the world. Died in Babylon. God said you can't rebuild Babylon. Curse upon anybody who tries to rebuild it. He tried to rebuild it. He died. He died. Just like Saddam Hussein announced to the world he was going to try to rebuild Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. He died. He died. And it will always remain a ruins. But there is a latter day Babylon. And a mighty king shall stand up, and he shall, with great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside these. And then it goes back and forth. From verse 7 down to verse 20, you got the two most powerful parts of Alexander's empire, Egyptian part to the south, the Syrian part to the north, but they were vast swathes of land, it much bigger than Syria as we know today or Egypt as we know today. And then they go back and forth. And history records this. But Daniel saw it a couple of hundred years in advance. History confirms what Daniel said. Or not. Daniel confirms what history records. That's a better way of looking at it. And so from verses 5, it goes back and forth. And then in verse 21, we're introduced to a vile person. The Bible calls somebody vile, they must really be vile. He was terrible. Antiochus Epiphanes, a king of Syria, a forerunner of the Antichrist. And it describes him from verse 21 all the way down to verse 35. And then you have some time statements in verse 35, and it says, "And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge." It makes a summary statement here, to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So now we do what Bible prophecy frequently does. We span the ages. And beginning at verse 36, we're introduced to the king shall do according to his will. Now you might start reading this and say, well, this sounds like the previous kings. The more you read, the more you realize it is not. This is a different kind of king altogether. Each verse takes us deeper and deeper and deeper into the fallen nature of all men, as it were, combined in this one man. And it takes us deeper and deeper, and when we get to chapter 12, we're clearly in the tribulation period, but this man is certainly the Antichrist, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. So this man that we read about beginning at verse 36 is the Antichrist, and the reason why this is a time of trouble is to a great deal because of him. And then it goes on what happens. But we have kings on parade here. We got off to a very good start last week. We got off with kind of a weak man, but a good man. His heart was right. Darius, he needed to be strengthened. He was certainly strengthened by his co-regent, Cyrus, a man who was prophesied of by Isaiah a couple of hundred years before. We saw the scriptures on that. It seems like Darius reigned only a very short time. Cyrus took over, reigned 7 years. Cyrus allows the Jews to return. He allows them to go back and build their temple. He allows them to rebuild Jerusalem. He was a great man. He was called by great things by God, my shepherd, my anointed, in Isaiah. We saw that last week. Everything about him, he seems to have lost a little bit of a grip toward the end. He died in battle after reigning only 7 years. And it seems like he became a little bit careless regarding the Jewish people going back and rebuilding their temple, that kind of flagged a little bit. Cambyses takes over immediately. He undoes. That is not a correct word. I'm sure it isn't. He undoes. Really? Is that a correct word? He undoes. Surely. Look, we'll have to look this up afterwards, because I stopped there last week. He undoes. I don't want to stop the whole message tonight thinking about it. But anyway, he turns around what his father did, and he's not a good man. We don't know a great deal about him. The term used for these kings is they stood up. They stood up. this man stands up, but he stands up in opposition against Israel. And he allows a decree to go forth that the work on Jerusalem, the work on the temple, stop. And that is what he does. And he tries to further the aims of the Persian Empire. He fails. He doesn't really do a whole lot. He's away. He's trying to conquer Egypt. You've got on page 288, here is a Persian seal of Cambyses capturing Pharaoh. He does capture, but he doesn't really dominate Egypt like this seal may indicate. He does for a while, but it's only temporary. But he's away from Persia for too long. Intrigue takes place. A usurper arises, claims the kingdom. Cambyses tries to fight against the usurper. He dies in about the 7th or 8th year of his reign. And a second king, for only 7 months, stands up. He comes across up to us as Pseudo-Smyrdis. Doesn't reign long. Doesn't do anything except try to entrench himself. He fails miserably. And about all that we have is the next king. Here's a Behistun inscription of Darius Histapes placing his foot on Pseudo-Smyrdis. So he doesn't last very long. And so here, but he is mentioned in Daniel. He is one of the kings mentioned by Daniel as standing up. Doesn't stand up very long. Somebody stands on him. And here we've got an inscription of that very thing happening. So we've got kings on parade. We've had Darius the Mede. We've had Cyrus, co-regents, good kings. We've had now the first king after the death of Daniel, Cambyses, bad king. We've got a usurper for 7 months. And then we have this third king, an extremely powerful king, although the emphasis that the book of Daniel gives is on the king who follows him. He was a powerful king, this one. His name was Darius Histapes. And I think I can show you that, biblically speaking, when it comes to Gentile kings in the Old Testament, you've got Nebuchadnezzar, an important king. You have the pharaohs. They were important. You've got Cyrus, an important king. But you would have to rank Darius Histapes right up there amongst the most important kings of the Old Testament. And I've entitled this message, this study tonight, Kings on Parade, A Key to Bible Chronology. He reigned 36 years. And I'm going to show you, and I know this isn't commonly believed or understood, but I'm convinced it's correct. I'm going to show you that his reign provides the chronological order for events at the close of the Old Testament. Now, one of the problems is this. When we deal with Pharaoh, we deal with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had one name. He had his own personal name, but his title was just one. Pharaoh was Pharaoh was Pharaoh. When we get to Persia, they had at least three titles. It could be Darius. It could be Ahasuerus, like in the book of Esther. It could be Darius, like in the book of certainly Haggai, Zechariah. It could be Artaxerxes, like in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And so, again, this alerts us to the fact that they would use different titles. Sometimes the title Artaxerxes is the ultimate title, but it can be shown. It can be shown, and then I've got a book out. It's become an international bestseller, become very wealthy, but you can see it on, actually, we got it online, so you don't even have to buy it, but you can buy it at, you know, if you, you can buy it at Amazon. And Gary, you need to buy it and put in a positive review. Do try to say something. Yeah, you know, I'll reward you. You know, anyway, but it's there, and I've dealt with it. I've been to the British Library, British Museum, and I can show you that these terms are interchangeable. And here's the amazing thing about this king, and I will say a little bit further on this light, but he was so powerful, and he led the Persians to their greatest extent. He conquered the entire Middle East. He conquered North Africa, Egypt. He conquered India, Pakistan, the Caucasus, what would be southern Russia. He conquered parts of Greece. Extremely powerful, extremely powerful. This is a man who truly stood up after Daniel. But years of reign were 36 years. And whereas in the different books you'll talk about Ahasuerus or Artaxerxes or Darius, I'm proposing that they all refer to the same man. And you've got these years for each of them. And really, it's pretty hard to put it together when you've got these three kings, but if you see them as one king with a different name, a different title, because it's not just like Pharaoh, you've got at least three titles for the Persian kings, it fits in beautifully, and it does, I believe, give you an accurate step-by-step chronology of the end of Bible history at the close of the Old Testament. Now let me show you what one of the problems is. This man is obviously the Darius that we read about in Haggai and Zechariah, who allows the work to recommence. So he had Israel at heart. I wish I could come to a I do wish tonight I could, when I come to the close of Darius Hystapes, I could come with, they lived happily ever after. They didn't. But he certainly had Israel at heart, and he allows the Jews to start rebuilding again. He upholds the decree of Cyrus. He rescinds the stoppage that Cambyses brought about, and so, but he allows the work to begin. Now, here's another. Here's where you really will find, and this is so simple, so simple. I am convinced that this Darius Hystapes is Ahasuerus who married Esther. You say, prove it. Okay, I'm going to. Ahasuerus married Esther in the seventh year of his reign. Okay? Everyone says that the Ahasuerus who married Esther is the next king Xerxes. We're going to show you Xerxes next week. We've got him with his whip at the Dardanelles, looking from Turkey over to Europe. He's mad at it. He has his soldiers whip it because they sunk some of his ships. But that was Xerxes, extremely powerful. Ahasuerus, in his seventh year, marries Esther. Read the book of Esther. Everything seems to be fine for him. And Xerxes, in his seventh year, is over in Greece, really getting a pounding from the Greeks. Hardly a time to be marrying Esther. Now, that's a simple fact of history. Doesn't work. And so people who talk about the book of Esther, you know, they say, oh, well, yes, he was having a lot of trouble. There were things on his mind. You weren't kidding. There were things on his mind. He's not even in Persia. He's in Greece. And his army's not doing well at all. And the Greeks are outwitting him, even though his army is much larger. And so it will not work. So you've got a lot of things like that, that if you put three kings in here rather than one king with just a different title, then it works perfectly, and you've got 36 years of chronology for the end of the Old Testament. And when people see this, and there's a few that understand this, but not too many. And so he is the Artaxerxes. He's the Artaxerxes. He's the Darius. He's Ahasuerus, who married Esther. He's the Artaxerxes, who we see really supporting both Ezra and Nehemiah. And then, you don't have to look at this, but just to give it complete, here are examples of the years of reign given for these supposedly three kings. I'm saying these years of reign are for one king, but different titles. It fits in perfectly. It really does. If these were three kings, you would soon see that there's a problem, but it doesn't become dislocated. There are no contradictions. Also, as we saw in the 70-week prophecy, we saw that the 70 weeks of years were divided into 49 years and 62 years, or 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The first 49 years are for the most part taken up by the reign of Darius Astapes. And everything that happened in the close of Old Testament chronology, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, building the temple, the stoppage of the temple, all of that can be linked to the reign of this one king. Now, you don't need to know this to go to heaven. I'm thankful. But it is part of Bible study. And if one wants to understand the close of the Old Testament, you have to deal with chronology. And here is some chronological detail that we've got here. So this is Darius Histopes, and at the bottom, we won't go through all of this, but you've got basically emboldened here in both of these lists, you've got important historic events given in the close of the Old Testament. When I say close of the Old Testament, I mean the close of the historical part of the Old Testament. And it shows you how it fits in, and these are important events, and you can read that. But it's good to have this reference. We're giving you a complete set of notes. Listen, it would have been far easier to ignore this and just say, listen, Daniel 11, they had a lot of trouble, but it all turned out pretty good. And, you know, we could just say that. But no, we want to give a complete outline of what has happened. And I'm thankful that I've had a few comebacks on this. Royal Mail hasn't had to put on any extra services or anything like that, but I have had a few comebacks on this. And people acknowledge that this is a clearly a possible solution to what is really chaotic, trying to fit three separate kings in. No, you've got one king, but three different titles. I've got this one statement at the bottom of page 291. It says, it is proposed that the first list gives the chronicle of but one king, Darius Hystapes. If, however, this is the record of two or three kings, we are faced with a puzzling question as to why Darius Hystapes disappears from the biblical record after only 6 years of his 36-year reign. After his kindness to the Jews, actively supporting the building and the completion of the temple, it would be strange not to read any more about him, particularly, you know, because Persia was very much associated with Israel at this time. Yet, if indeed there is but one king here, then that which follows, i.e., his kindness toward Esther, I would say that was kindness, he married her, and Nehemiah, is but a natural continuance of what he had already displayed toward Israel. There is compelling harmony in this proposal. The reignal years, when applied solely to Darius, fit in perfectly with the latter two-thirds of the 49 years, the 7 weeks. We looked at that when we looked at chapter 9 of the 70-week prophecy. It is shown to be a time of extensive biblical activity. If you use the common way of looking at it, these 49 years are pretty much of a blank. What are they there for? And they acknowledge that. And that gets, I know this is complicated, but you need to be aware of this. You need to be aware of this. Again, I wish I could close tonight with a happy ending for Darius Hystapes. He was very important. Perhaps he's also a picture of man. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He may be one of those men that could be very kind, very big-hearted in some respects, and yet still stop short of coming to faith in the Lord. Friendly to Jerusalem and the Jewish people, he was not a believer in the God of Israel. After his failed attempt to occupy the Greek mainland, Herodotus describes the following. Darius asked for his bow, he placed an arrow upon the string, and he discharged it upwards towards heaven. And as he shot into the air, he said, Zeus, grant me to take vengeance upon the Athenians. Also he charged one of his servants to say to him every day before dinner. You know, we pray before our meals, but Darius Hystapes, before his meals, he would just say, Master, remember the Athenians. He hated them. He hated them. And that was it. The prayer was never answered. His long-term reign of 36 ended while preparing for a second invasion of Greece. He's got this famous cliff face inscription. It's in Iran today. Records his devotion to Persian idolatry, although, as I understand this, this is up to the time that he began his reign. He's got his foot on, he's the big one here, leading up, and these are kind of his subjects afterwards, and he's got his foot here on Pseudo-Smyrtus. So, it says in this he wrote the sequence of events that occurred after the death of Cyrus down to his own reign, and mentioned several times that he is the rightful king by the grace of this Zoroastrian god. And so, very sorry about that. Sorry. I wish I could say like Nebuchadnezzar, like Cyrus, like Darius. He came to a knowledge of the God of Israel. No sign that he did. Not at all. Next week, we've got another very important king on parade, and we look at the famous Xerxes. So a strange thing about Xerxes. He took all of the power bequeathed to him by Darius. He became even more powerful, more wealthy. Seventh year of his reign, we're going to go after Greece again. It was his undoing. He inflicted a lot of damage on Greece, but basically he lost. And from that point onward, history is absolutely silent about his reign. You can find it plenty up to the seventh year. After that, history. Pretty much a blank. After that, you hardly hear anything more of Persia. And this is one of the reasons why we believe the Persian Empire didn't last nearly as long as they tell us it lasted. And we've looked at that. That's in your notes. Very important. But I'm glad, yes, a king is coming. The king is coming. The Lord is coming. And he says, I'll overturn until he come whose right it is. Christ is coming. He's coming soon. We're looking forward to him coming. Every other king, every other prime minister, every other head of state, a disappointment. But a king is coming that will not be a disappointment. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord tonight, the Bible is so amazing. You can believe the Bible, study it, where it conflicts with the established view of things, you stand with the Bible. Even though you don't have an answer or you can't figure it out, stand with what the Bible says. The Bible stands, and we stand with the Bible. And so, very important. But we've seen it tonight again, and amazing things are happening here. Very likely, this is the king who married Esther, showed such great kindness to Esther, and showed such great kindness to the Jewish people. I wish he could have shown greater kindness to his own soul. Maybe at the end he did turn to the God of Israel, but we don't have a record of it. Father, we are thankful tonight. Again, we see people come and go. We've seen prime ministers who seem to govern for a certain amount of righteousness. We're thankful for them. We've seen others who did not. We've seen those who had a heart to protect Israel. We've seen others who have not. And so, Father, again, as we look at the world in which we live and all of the clamor and all that's perhaps going to even happen this summer, all that's happening in California and Texas and Paris and earthquakes and particularly volcanoes and everything, Lord, again, how can we but not think of the nearness of thy return. So we say again tonight, even so come, Lord Jesus. Do bless now, we pray in thy name. Amen. Jesus shall reign, 142. Darius Hystapes reigned 36 years, quite a long time.